is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 11, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 11. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by one, when and if the Holy Spirit leads according to His wonderful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You're also, everybody in the world, invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace, yes, that's The Produce Place, is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11. To set the stage, we learn that there was a righteous man of God named Elkanah, and he was married to a beautiful woman named Hannah. He loved her very much. Her name means grace. But she was barren, and she wanted children. So Hannah prayed correctly and asked God to give her a son. And she made a vow. And she said, if you will give me a son, as soon as I wean him, I will return him back to you. I'll let his whole life be dedicated to you. I'll take him up to Shiloh, where the priest is, the Ark of the Covenant, and I'll leave him there to serve you forever. So God answered her prayer and gave her Samuel. His name means ask of God, heard of God. And in chapter 2, last time, 1 through 10, Hannah, whose name means grace, prayed an amazing prayer of amazing grace. Now, from God's heart to my heart, to your heart, you are a royal priesthood. So what are your duties? You are a royal priesthood. So what are your duties? Revelation chapter 1, 5 and 6, it says, Jesus Christ has made you a king and a priest unto him. A king is royal, so you are a royal priest. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation, one of a kind, to show forth the glory of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
So, your royal priesthood, what are your duties?
Verse 11, and Elkanah went to Ramah to his house.
Elkanah and Hannah had taken young Samuel up to Shiloh, where the priest Eli and his two sons Hophni and Phinehas were, the Ark of the Covenant. Now, he was about from 10 to 12 years old because he wouldn't do any good in the temple there as a little toddler, so they have to leave him there. As a true priest of God, your first priority is to give your complete whole life to God. All to Jesus you surrender. Nothing of you, all of him. Everything about you, all about God.
And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest.
Your second duty as a high priest is to be a servant. Jesus says that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is to serve. Everything about your life is totally devoted to the Lord, no matter where, when, how you are. And all you do, get up every morning, what can I do to serve? Not what can I get? Go on your job, go to church, anywhere. What can I give? How can I serve? And you look for ways to serve.
Verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial.
Now he had two bad sons there, Hophni and Phinehas. Now they were the priest line, but they didn't serve God. They served the devil.
They knew not the Lord.
Your great duty as a true priest of God is that you must know the Lord. See, a lot of Christians know about Jesus. Oh, yes, I'll go to church and hear about him. But not everybody knows Jesus. You develop a personal, one-on-one relationship with you. He talks to you by his Holy Spirit. You talk to him, and you know him, and he knows you. It's a personal relationship. Every true priest has this.
Verse 13. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice.
Okay, Jesus had not yet come to be the sacrificial lamb for our sins once and for all. So they had special feast up at Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant was. All the people of Israel would pack up their families and take some animals and go for different kind of feast. And the first thing they did when they got there, before anybody ate anything at the feast, they would take the first fruits of their animal sacrifice and give it to the priest, to Eli, and to his sons Hophni and Phinehas. It's called the first fruits. Before they got anything, they gave the best right up front. They gave the wave breast and the heave offering, and that was the best. Now, then Eli would let them take the 90%. They could have the rest of it, and they would all cook it and have a feast. But one more thing, the offerer would cut off the fat, because God says the fat belongs to God. That was his part, okay? God knew that fat wasn't good for you, but they didn't know that.
The priest's servant came while the flesh was in the seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand.
Now, those two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, sent a servant, and he got there where the people were cooking their food there, boiling their whatever, the animal, and had a three-pronged fork.
Verse 14, and he struck it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest kept for himself.
What a greedy bunch of people there. Now, they already got the first fruits, and every true priest returns the first fruits to God. You never pay your tithe, you return your tithe. It's the first fruit. God says, that's mine. You return that, and then you can have the rest, okay? But these people were so greedy. God already provided for them. God says, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, that's me. A labor's worthy of his hire. But they're going to steal that. Now, a true priest never robs anybody.
So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither.
They did this to every family. Good Lord.
Verse 15. Also, before they burnt the fat.
Okay. Now, the offerer, he's got all the rest of that. He's going to take the fat and give that to the Lord. That belongs to the Lord. The fat belongs to the Lord.
The priest servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw.
Hophni and Phinehas said, tell him to cut off a nice rib steak there and leave the fat on, and we'll have it later for ourselves. They like the fat. They even took what belongs to God. A true priest will never rob God. Will a man rob God? Yes, no, but you rob God in tithes and offerings. Amen. The tithe is the Lord. You're not giving him anything, you're just returning it. But a true priest would never rob God.
Verse 16, and if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently.
Okay, if the offering said, oh no, please, the fat belongs to God. I mean, I know you got my food here, but please let me give this to God. A true priest will give up everything in the world to give their life to God.
Then take as much as thy soul desireth.
You can have all the rest. A true priest gives up everything in their life, I repeat, for God.
Then he would answer him, Nay, thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force.
Oh, bad priest.
Verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord.
God knows everything.
For men abhorred the offering of the Lord.
What happened? The Israelites saw all this corruption up there, how they were stealing everything, their food and God's food. It got so that they kind of didn't even want to go to this, although they loved the Lord. However, a true priest forsakes not the assembling of themselves together, as the manner of some is, Hebrews 25. A true priest can't wait to get to the house of the Lord, no matter what's going on. If there's something wrong, they do their best to make it right. They pray about it. A true priest goes to the house of God every Sunday, or if Saturday's or Sabbath, and midweek, because that is their first priority. They worship God, and they have a duty there, and they go.
Verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord.
Samuel ministered before the Lord. Minister means to serve. And again, every true priest is a servant. You serve and you serve and you serve some more. And when you think there's nothing left, you check. You pour out your pockets. You look everything. Is there anything else I can do? What can I do to serve you? What can I do to serve you? What can I do to serve you?
Being a child girded with a linen ephod.
Now, he's a child. He's now about 12 years old. He's got a linen ephod. An ephod in Exodus, when you read about that, is a priest's vest. And it was linen. And every priest wore one. In the linen ephod, there was a pouch. And there was a little thing in the pouch called the Urim and the Thummim. And it was supernatural. The priest would say, God, what do you want Israel to do today? And the light would flash and God would say, yes. Do you want us to go to war? The light would flash and say, no. So Samuel was a priest and he had the priest's vest and he would inquire of the Lord for the people what to do. Now every true priest is led by the Spirit of God. Anyone who's not led by the Spirit of God, they are not the sons of God. That's how you know a person is saved. They're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Every true priest lets the Holy Spirit lead them in every area. Food, body, money, work, relationships, prayer, every moment of every day. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14.
Amen.
Verse 19. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year.
She loved her little boy. She knew he was growing. I mean, he's 13, 14, 15, 16. So she would make him a new priest vest. Every true priest doesn't stay where you are. You get out of your comfort zone and you grow and you grow and you grow. Every true priest is closer to God today and understands God more today than they did last week. Every true priest goes from glory to glory to glory.
Amen.
God is a Shekinah glory.
Amen.
God is so inexhaustible there. I mean, there's so much of him. He's so exciting.
Amen.
Every true priest never gets it all, but you're not the same. Boy, I'm not the same I am today as I was yesterday.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I hope you're not too. A false priest just sit down and watch the show and stay in the same old place. Boring, boring.
When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice.
Now, even though Elkanah and Hannah knew that Eli's two sons were corrupt, they went on up there. They put God first. Every true priest, no matter what's going on, you always continue to do what God tells you to do. You put him first because you love him.
Amen.
Verse 20. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman."
Remember that she had no other children, and she had been barren for so long. Finally, she gets Samuel, and she takes him up there at Shiloh to stay with Eli and help out there. And so he says, "Bless her.
For the loan which is lent to the Lord."
The loan doesn't mean she loaned Samuel, it returned. Hannah knew, like we all know, God loaned all of us to our parents. And so when we give our lives back to him, we return what God gave to the parents there. And so Eli says, "Give her some more children."
And they went to their own home.
Oh boy, they go back to Ramah. Guess what they do? They go to the master bedroom.
Verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters.
That's five. In biblical numerics, five is a number of grace. Her name there, unmerited favor. Every true priest of God does give, and it's given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will God give it to your bosom. Every true priest gives everything they have to God, all of their time, all of their money, all of their talent, all of their fun, all of their life, and you can never outgive God. It's God's law of reciprocity. When God sees you giving, he multiplies it back to you. Look at that. Amen. Look at that. Five. Amen. Five. One and get five. Look at that. Amen. So every true priest has no fear of giving. You empty out your bank account for the glory of God. Amen. You give to the poor, the last cent. You do without. You give your life away. You give your dreams away. But Jesus said, even in this lifetime, he restores. He restores. God's law of reciprocity. Every true priest knows you cannot give God.
Amen. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel.
Okay, the Israelites are beginning to tell Eli about his bad son. Now Eli loved the Lord, but there's something wrong here. He was the head priest there. His sons were going to take over after he would die. He was supposed to take care of the work of God. Every true priest is very detailed to watch over everything about God's work. Even if people are under your work there, you make sure they're doing it right. A true priest makes sure that people are growing, that they are being filled with the Holy Spirit, that they are living for God. They watch out for every detail. They don't just take it for granted. Your watchman, watchman on the wall, watch.
And how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle.
Good Lord. Hophni and Phinehas, the women would come up there to worship the Lord. And Hophni and Phinehas would say, "You know, God told me that you need to have sex with me, that God wants you to do that," would seduce them. Lord have mercy. Every true priest keeps his sex life morally pure. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. A man and woman may have sex together after they are married, and the reason is so God can send another soul through. But any other kind of sex, aberrated, out of wedlock, that is wrong. A true high priest keeps himself pure before God, and the Antichrist is about to come, and there's going to be a spiritual marriage. He's going to try to get you to marry him. A true high priest will not go to bed spiritually with the Antichrist who comes before Jesus, because a true high priest is going to wait and be that holy virginal bride for the real Jesus.
Amen. Of the congregation. Verse 23. And he said unto them, "Why do ye such things?"
He says, "Why are you doing this?" A true high priest does not overlook sin in those people around him. His family, his friends, church, work. In other words, you are sinning. You call a spade a spade. See, most Christians say, I don't want to hurt your feelings. That best friend of you going to lunch to you and they're sinning, and they say they're Christian, you are your brother's keeper. A true priest calls sin, sin. Amen. You do it with love, but you call it out.
For I hear of your evil doings by all this people.
But Eli, you should have watched out yourself.
Verse 24. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear.
So he says, stop doing this, sons. A true high priest corrects those people under his mentorship or around him, his family. Stop doing this. You are in sin. In other words, you correct.
Ye make the Lord's people to transgress.
Eli says, you're even making these women sin. A true high priest tries with all one's heart to never cause anyone else to stumble.
Verse 25. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him.
Eli says, sons, if you both would confess your sin to God and repent, stop, God would forgive you. A true high priest knows the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And occasionally we all goof up. But a true high priest immediately confesses, repents, quits, asks forgiveness, and is forgiven. And a true high priest instantly forgives those who trespass against them. You do not hold a grudge. You just forgive, you forgive, you forgive. If you're having trouble with that, what I do is I say, Jesus, you live in me, forgive them through me. And you start praying for them. When you start praying for people, even your enemies, you start loving them. Amen. A true priest nips sin in the bud, quits, stops, confesses, asks forgiveness right then and there, and also forgives others.
But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him?
Eli says, sons, I believe you're getting a little bit too over the red line with God. A true priest, the generation of the fig tree, God's very elect alive right now, many of you hearing me, amen. We're going to be delivered up to the instead of Christ, the fake Christ, anti-Messiah instead of. The devil called himself Jesus. He's going to talk like Jesus, two horns of a lamb, the power of the Lamb of God, but the voice of a dragon. He's going to come in and say, peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. The whole world will go after him and half the body of Christ. But the true priest, the elect, is going to be delivered up to him. Now, when you live up to him, we are to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us whatever the Holy Spirit wants to say, Luke 12, in the Holy Spirit's language. It's translated in the King James tongue, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Luke 12 says, if we do not let the Holy Spirit speak in his language, that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It is unforgivable, and you've lost your salvation. A true priest will right now yield to Holy Spirit. Forget your dignity, and you will let him speak through. Praise the Lord God. And the language will come, because you care more about that than your dignity now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A true priest has the baptism, and the evidence is you speak his language.
Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father.
They would not pay attention. They harden their hearts. A true priest keeps your heart soft and pliable. You're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You don't want your hard heart. You want to live a pure and holy life. You keep your heart soft by praying, by hearing the word, studying the word of God, by loving, by giving, by listening.
The Lord would slay them.
In other words, there is a point of no return.
Verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men.
If you are truly a true priest, You're going to be so dedicated to God, everything about your life is God, that God's going to favor you. You're going to see little God hugs every now and then of favor, but you're especially going to get favor at the judgment seat of Christ, called the Bema Judgment, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And he's going to say, well done to you. You will have favor with real priests, real Christians. You will not have favor with baby Christians who got one foot in the world, one foot in their video game, and the other in the church, and you will not have favor with them. But the real priests, you will have favor with them, because God brings together his many-membered body of Christ. We are kindred spirits, and we favor each other and love each other. It's one of the blessings of a true priest.
Verse 27, and there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord.
God sends a prophet to Eli.
Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt and in Pharaoh's house?
Now, when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt by Moses, he told them to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. We studied that in Hebrews. And he wanted Moses to be the high priest, to read the Torah, teach the word, pray for the people, and offer the sacrifices. But Moses said, I'm a mumbler. He had a cell phone, he mumbled all the time. And he said, but my brother Aaron can speak. So Aaron was of the tribe of Levi. God chose the tribe of Levi to be the priesthood. But remember, you are a king and a priest. And he said, okay, Aaron, you be the high priest. And then when Aaron would die, he was going to do all those priestly duties. He had four sons. He had Nadab, Abihu, he had Eleazar, and Ithamar. Now, Aaron's first two sons, when Aaron died, that was Nadab and Abihu. They were bad priests, like Hophni and Phinehas. They offered strange fire. They didn't teach the word of God right. They did it wrong. God killed them. And so there were only two left in the Levitical priesthood, Aaron's son. They were Eleazar and Ithamar. God chose Eleazar, but some of the priests were selected also out of Ithamar, and Eli and his two sons were of the tribe of Ithamar, but they were of Aaron's seed, the priesthood.
28, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest?
Eli would have to say, yes, you chose Aaron and his children, the priest line.
To offer upon mine altar, to burn incense,
to teach the word of God, to pray for the people,
to wear an ephod before me,
to be that priest there, led by the Holy Spirit with a Urim and a Thummim.
And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire?
And God said, all of the 11 tribes bring your first fruits to the tribe of Levi into the storehouse. Then the priest of the Levi would take a tithe of that and give it out. I do that all the time. I don't ask for money. A few people tithe. When they do, I thank God for it, and I take one-tenth of that, and I go it out. I'm a tribe of Levi. My grandfather's name is Aaron. My daddy's Corey, tribe of Levi. But you're a priest, too.
Of the children of Israel, verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice?
Kick means trample. Why are you trampling my sacrifices?
And at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation.
Why are you not obeying me? Why are you not respecting and revering what I told you to do? A true priest reveres everything about God. The Holy Communion, the Word of God, prayer, going to church, giving, loving each other. You have a reverent, respectful attitude for all that God is. And a true priest obeys if everybody else says no.
And honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people.
A true priest gives their life to God, and they never do it for money or fame.
Verse 30, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever.
I'm always going to have a priest line, God says.
But now the Lord saith,
I'm going to have to do something about your sons.
Let far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor.
God says, any of my priests, any of you, if you honor God, God's going to honor you. And don't forget, the judgment seat of Christ is going to say, well done, you get rewards.
And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed.
Now, there are some priests that aren't going to do it right. And by the judgment seat of Christ, they are saved yet so as by fire. Not everybody who's saved and goes to heaven gets a well done. Not everybody who goes to heaven gets a well done. You're deciding that right now, priest.
Verse 31. Behold, the day is come that I will cut off thine arm.
Arm means seed. In other words, I'm going to stop the tribe of Ithamar, that line. But I've still got Eliezer. God's always got a royal priesthood. He's always got a remnant in every generation.
And the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house.
In other words, none of you from Ithamar, your sons, Hophni, Phinehas, nobody's going to live to be old. Now, a true priest who does it right is supposed to live a long time in the flesh. Because Genesis 6 says you can live 120. Psalm 92 says you'll be strong and flourish in old age. You will bear more fruit in old age than ever before. In Psalm 91, he says, with long life will I satisfy you. So a true priest lives and gives, lives and gives, lives and gives, either until Jesus comes or God calls them home. They never retire. They never have a vacation. Everything about them is God, and they just bear more fruit. They grow more and more. They win more souls to Jesus. Yes, they get more truth, more God, and they share it and give it out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 32, and thou shalt see an enemy in mine habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever.
The sons were enemies. They stole all the money. Now, we got an enemy coming to our house on earth. The sixth trump will sound before the seventh trump. Six is the Antichrist. He's going to pretend to be Jesus, and he's going to steal a lot of God's people. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will think it's Jesus because you weren't guarding your priest's vest.
Verse 33, and the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar.
But I've got somebody. Guess who it is?
Shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart and all the.
In other words, he says, Eli, it's going to make you so sad to know that Hophni and Phinehas are not going to be the priesthood, because of course he loved his sons.
Increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age.
Later on, we're going to find that Hophni and Phinehas do die.
Verse 34. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, of Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die, both of them.
We'll study that later on in Samuel.
Verse 35, and I will raise me up a faithful priest.
A faithful priest.
That shall do according to that which is in mine heart.
Will do the word of God. A true priest hears the word of God. But a true priest does the word of God. A little bit here, no. A little bit there, no. Every word of God. Man lives by every word of God. A true priest does not pick and choose. Whatever it says, you do it, you do it, you do it.
And in my mind.
And a true priest has the mind of Christ. A true priest thinks about money the way Jesus would. About relationships, what Jesus would. Whatever the Bible says, that's the way you think. You don't think what the world says about money or jobs or relationships or sex or anything else. Everything in your life, first of all, you think just like the Bible thinks. You have the mind of Christ, a true priest.
And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever.
Now, of course, this young Samuel later on would anoint a priest and a prophet called David. And David would be a man after God's own heart. In the Hebrew, David's name is David. And David's name in the Hebrew means beloved. David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who came through David's lineage through the Virgin Mary. When Jesus was baptized in water, and then baptized of the Holy Spirit, in Matthew chapter 3, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Mm-hmm. So we got Samuel, we got David, and we got Jesus. Paul says, one sows, one waters, but God gives the increase.
Amen.
Always. David's throne is still there in England. By the way, there's nobody sitting on it yet, because King Charles won't be King Charles until May. We got 7 months there. And Jesus' throne will be forever and ever. Of his kingdom, there'll be no end. Amen. And guess what? A true priest will sit with him in his throne if you overcome. Revelation.
Verse 36, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread."
Every true priest so lives that everybody they meet, lost people, saved people, will see that you have the bread of heaven, manna, Jesus Christ in you. They see God all over you. They see the word of God, that you live by that. They see that you know how to pray. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You are a royal priesthood. Now go forth, I charge you, and do your duties.
Amen.
I pray you're blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
Very good, Miss Sherry. It was awesome. Awesome word today.
David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
"For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Psalms 84:11.
Absolutely perfect. The upright others adopt, the just, the elect, the priest of God. Thank you,
Amen.
Scott. Great, Scott. Before I pray for the sick, let's get everybody saved. Anybody out there in cyberspace, in here, if you're not saved, pray this prayer with me now. Mean it, and God will save you. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I turn from them.
I
believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away my sins with your precious blood.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And tell me where you want me in your church.
And tell me where you want me in your church.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone or many people. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that. I invite you to. It's my voicemail. Leave your confession there. When I get it, I will pray for you. Now, all new Christians, you now may call God Father. You're his child. So you pray Father in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. Now you want to read your Bible every day for the rest of your life. If you're a new Christian, start the Gospel of John. Stick with me and we'll get the whole Bible. And every day you find some place in your home, no noise, no cell phones, no music, nobody. And you pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Do not do all the talking. Learn to listen to him so you can develop that relationship and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And go to church every Sunday, or if Saturday's your Sabbath, and go midweek. A little dab won't do. You need to go all the time, and you need to be faithful there. Go to a church that teaches God's word, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line, where the Holy Spirit leads the teacher there, and where they operate in the gifts of spirit and they pray for healing. And you may welcome come here all over the world. Take a plane, take a train, take a donkey. Amen. I'm here at Sunday's 5 and here always at 6, but go somewhere and be faithful and be true. Amen. You also may email me not only your confession, but you may email me your prayer requests, your praise reports, or your questions. My email is sharimedlock@gmail.com. Again, sharimedlock@gmail.com. The G is for God. We're going to pray for sick. I feel that there are quite a few people who have problems with your stomach. You have to eat, but when you eat, things don't work right. So in the name and the power of Jesus, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the digestive system be in order. Let the stomach receive the food. Let there be perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction or inaction. In the name of Jesus, stomach, peace, be still. Peace, be still. He says his word and healed you. Restores health and cure you. Boy, I feel it. I felt it touch somebody. You got it. Praise Amen. The Lord. We all Amen. Say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his counsel upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And no greater love at this than a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too. And I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
It is a night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul fell. Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease.
Divine, oh, listen to the angels rejoicing air so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory the night that Christ was born.
Listen to the angels rejoicing air so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory the night that Christ was born. Can't you see the people
coming from every nation,
coming from every nation,
pleading for their salvation,
pleading for salvation
the night that Christ,
the night that Christ was born.
Hallelujah.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in this life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, he has proved his love for me. When I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Jesus is faithful.